read have nothing to do with the worship of God. And yet God says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Brothers and sisters, we live in a desperate day. I hope not. I wouldn't be surprised if great social evil prevails in this next generation based upon what you can see in some of the young people of today. I pray that that's not the case. And often in case God gives us far less in terms of His wrath and curse than we deserve. But as we look at the problem, we see that it is a desperate problem. Families are breaking down. Men don't know how to be men. Women don't know how to be women. Fathers don't know how to be fathers, and mothers don't know how to be mothers. And so, at great risk, I would say, why don't we turn to the Word of God and look at God's perspective and see if God's views are not very, very different than our own. And I know that we in the Church of Christ are influenced by the social views around us. It's hard not to hear what people are saying. It's hard to hear the Word of God sometimes. But on this, I hope I preach the Word of God and only the Word of God. And I hope that God gives you a capacity to listen. And I hope in your own cases, whether you're children or parents or neighbors or uncles or aunts, grandmothers, grandparents, I hope that by abiding by God's Word, that some blessing will come to your life. Now the sermon, I've got it organized by some questions here. The first question is, what to do? What does God call us to do? And for this, I'd simply like to look at these scriptures and give them some analysis. What does God call us to do? Well, the most of the scriptures here are in sequence, but I've taken Proverbs 22, verse 6 as a sort of a good theme for the whole message and for the whole train of scriptures. Because that says, train up a child in the way he should go, even when he is old, he will not depart from it. So this scripture, first of all, calls us to train up our children in the way that they should go. Now when it says the word should, that indicates that somebody knows the way that they should go. Who is that somebody? The Lord, whom we've sung in Psalm 24, open the gates. The Lord knows how we should live. The Lord knows how we should go. So train up a child in the way he should go. It presupposes that we're reading the scriptures and that we know what God says in the Bible. Train up a child in the way he should go. Train up a child in the scriptural manner. And then there's this promise. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. So God is challenging us. He's saying that when children are young, we have a very fruitful time with them, or a possibility of it being a very fruitful time, if we use that time when they are young and get them going on the right way, then you've solved most of the problems for the rest of their lives. And if you see studies on criminality that are done in the modern era, almost always the problems of modern criminality, criminality in adulthood, criminality in middle age, criminality in the elderly, it always is traced back to youth. So this time of youthfulness, this time when we're children, is a critical age. And Psalm 22 points us to that, both in terms of responsibility and promise. Proverbs 13:24 introduces the idea of bodily or corporeal punishment. Corporeal is a fancy word that means bodily. And so Proverbs 13:24 teaches us, whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him promptly. Now what does our modern day teach us? It is just the opposite. He who loves his son will not strike him. He who hates his son or his child will strike them. So the common wisdom of the day is 180 degrees contrasting with this proverb. Whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him promptly. Now, I think we as Christians, I think in the general evangelical church, you could get a unanimity that we ought to be disciplining our children and that we ought not to let our children just run wild. So half of this proverb would be acceptable. But what half would not be acceptable? The prescription of the rod. The idea of corporeal discipline. The idea of actually striking your child. The most favorite way of disciplining children these days is to take timeouts, where the child goes to his room and he has to think about what you've talked to him about. And that's better than nothing. I would admit, that's better than nothing. But my problem is, how do we deal with God's Word? You see, God's Word here says, whoever, it's a universal proverbial kind of statement, whoever spares the rod hates his son. But whoever loves him is diligent to discipline him. And of course, to discipline him in Proverbs, there's a parallelism. So the idea of disciplining him in the second half relates to the rod in the first half. It's saying whoever loves him will use the rod. If you hate your child, you'll avoid the rod. You won't use the rod. If you love your child, you will be diligent to use the rod. Now, we'll go into some of the why, some of the explanations of these things in a little bit. So I don't want you to think that I won't try to explain why God says this or what's involved with it. But we see here the simple statement. I don't know how it could be any plainer. And based upon the Proverbs that follow, we see the significance of corporeal or bodily discipline. In other words, God says that in our families, if we're doing the best possible job of child rearing, we will use physical discipline. And not just with a hand even, but here the idea here is of using a switch or a rod. In other words, some flexible thing. Sometimes people will use cooking spoons, something that's, you don't want to use a cat of nine tails. We're not talking here about whipping our children until they bleed, but we're talking about using something to spank them on their rear ends. It's a very wonderful part of the body the Lord gave us. It's to help us when we sit so that we won't get too hurt, you know, our bones won't grind against the seats that we're sitting on, because we've got that padding that we carry around with us. It's just great. But it's also great for spanking, because it hurts, but it doesn't cause any terminal damage. So God is saying here, whoever avoids this hates their children, but whoever loves their children will use this physical discipline. Now, what do we say about that without the orthodoxy of the modern day? In other words, we have practically the whole world today telling us that we should not use any bodily discipline. Discipline is okay, they will say, but not bodily discipline. But here, in terms of discipline, God holds up or focuses on bodily discipline as his key ingredient. And we see that in the next verse, Proverbs 22:15. Folly is bound up in the heart of the child, but the rod of discipline drives it far from him. The rod of discipline is the key instrument to help your child with sanctification. Proverbs 22:15 teaches us that there's a kind of foolishness. Folly is more than foolishness, because folly is foolishness coming to its own. It's foolishness as a way of life. And it teaches us here that our children, by nature, by their birth, are full of folly. Andrew's preached on this recently in Ephesians chapter 2, where it says, by nature we are children of wrath. By nature, as we are delivered into this world, as we're born into this world, we are worthy of wrath. That is the wrath from God, because we are born into a fallen human race. And by nature, we do not come out of the womb wanting to worship God and enjoy Him and praise Him. We do not come out of the womb healthy, religiously, but we come out of the womb religiously poisoned and corrupted. And if we have the spiritual corruption, how are we to be delivered from it? The rod of discipline drives this far from Him. The rod of discipline helps us to become humble as people. It helps us to overcome this folly by introducing a physical humility into our lives. And humility is one of the main Christian virtues. Humility can be described in the Bible sometimes by meekness, the word meekness. It's having a rightful understanding of who we are before the Lord. I see these little boys and girls prancing around our neighborhood, strutting their stuff. They're so proud. They have no sense of the problems of their own heart. And I know that that has not been driven from them. It's obviously present. They have been, their children, the worst ones in the neighborhood are the ones who have been the furthest from discipline. So in the degrees of discipline, if parents at least hold their children to a certain manner of behavior, that's going to be somewhat helpful. If they ratchet that up one and show their children some anger regarding their sin, even if they don't call it sin, and they're consistent in that, that's one more step up the ladder. And if they use God's prescription, that is the rod, then that's an even greater blessing. And that's, they're going to do the best. They're going to get the best results because they simply follow God's Word. Psalm 23, 13 through 14 speaks of this in the negative. First, it says, do not withhold discipline. So Proverbs 13, 24 says, a number of these, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him promptly. The next one, but the rod of discipline drives it from him. These speak in the positive. This speaks in the negative. Do not withhold discipline from the child. So God has said you should do it. Now he says don't avoid doing it. Do not avoid discipline from a child. Or do not withhold discipline from a child. If you strike him with a rod, he will not die. Now, why does God say that? Because as parents, you're somewhat afraid that maybe they will. Especially our little girls. If we spank our little girls, will they really survive? Sometimes as fathers, we're fearful that they won't. But God encourages us. No, don't worry about that. They won't die. It's both a promise and also a tip. I mean, it's a promise that that will not be. And it's also a tip that our spankings are not supposed to be anywhere near bringing about death. I mean, you could kill a child by disciplining him, but that would be a wicked thing. It goes on to say, if you strike him with a rod, you will save his soul from Sheol. Can you imagine that? Child discipline, in some way, is related to salvation. If you leave your child free to run and roam, you're doing the worst thing spiritually for him or her. On the other hand, if you discipline them, you are, it's not a promise that they will automatically accept the gospel, but you are certainly putting them in the position that they are ready to hear the gospel. Because they've recognized when you discipline a child with a rod or when you spank them with your hand, that child is coming right up against the wall. He's seeing that his parents really believe something truly and strongly. He's seeing that mom and dad have a basic orthodoxy, a basic set of beliefs, and that they have come smack dab face up to that wall. And their parents are not allowing them to go beyond that wall. They're grabbing them. They're saying, no, this is wrong. You must stop here. And along with their words, they're also applying this physical discipline. If you strike him with a rod, you will save his soul from Sheol. There's also in that proverb, not only is the word rod used, but the verb to strike is there. So we're not supposed to use the rod like a violin. If we take the rod to our children and gently massage it over their bottoms like you might play a violin, no, we're supposed to strike them. Again, in our modern day. I could just see if this room were filled up with a room of sociologists right now and I was giving a lecture, I doubt I would have gotten this far, to be sure. But when I got to this point and talked about the joy of this combination of the verb strike with the noun rod, I mean, if there was anybody left in their seat that had not tried to throw themselves at the podium to bring me down, certainly now the pews would be empty. And I'd be up here like a piece of food in a river full of fish, and everybody would be going after me, trying to take care of what was left of life. But all I can say is this is God's Word. Proverbs 29:15. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. The rod and reproof. Now, here, you see, many people today believe in reproof, but they don't believe in rod. Many people will say when they come to these scriptures, well, by rod, God doesn't really mean rod. He simply means reproof. Well, here we have both together. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. So these two things, reproof, we need to be reproving our children if they do wrong. They may not go along with it immediately, but we still need to reprove them. And we need to use the rod if it's a serious case of pride or anger or hurting brothers and sisters in a mean way. We need to challenge that. We need to show our children that we believe that their brothers or sisters are made in the image of God. And if you're made in the image of God, you're not supposed to be treated that way. Can you see how out of child discipline in this way, the main morals and the main system of values is constructed for the whole society? In other words, why is it today that CEOs in big companies are so willing to lie, cheat, and steal? Why is it that we have people that commit these terrible mass murders? The physical abuse and the sexual abuse that goes on in our day is epidemic. Is it any wonder that this is also a day in which people do not believe in God's Word? And simple things like this in child rearing, we've disdained it. Most of the Church of Christ has disdained this. Most of the Church of Christ does not believe anymore in spanking with a rod. I don't know about the Reformed Church. I hope it's better than that. But it may not be. But here's God's Word. Proverbs 29:17 says, discipline your son and he will give you rest. He will give delight to your heart. Now here's, I love the second part of this. He will give delight to your heart. If we put in the time to discipline our children, and especially to discipline them strongly if it demands a strong discipline. Number one, it will give us rest. And there's nothing harder than you rear a child and then for the rest of your life that child is caught up in delinquency or incorrigible criminality. There's nothing that wears upon our hearts more. There's nothing that gives us stronger unrest, aggravation than that. But this is saying, if you discipline your children when they're younger, they will give you rest and they will delight your heart. They will be a delight to your heart. I was somewhat surprised as a young boy. I think I was about 11 or 12. And I was meditating on my life one day, as I believe children are apt to do. And it struck me that I hadn't received a spanking in about 3 or 4 years. And I thought, wow! Because I did before. My dad was believed in right and wrong, and he believed in the holiness of people. He especially believed in the holiness of my mother. So if we acted up during the day and caused her grief, it made him angry because he loved her. So when he got home, we found out about that because he would spank us. And very often, he would call her in the middle of the day. They'd talk halfway through the day. And if she was upset, he'd hear about it. And he'd have about 3 or 4 hours to think about that. And when he got home, he would discipline us and spank us. He didn't need a rod. His hand was powerful enough. But there was a fellow up the street, and this was not a Christian family, but his dad, it was one of my best friends, Bill. And his dad, their house was positioned so they could see us playing out on the playground. And if his father, Bill used to get in trouble sometimes, his dad, his name is Don, and if Don saw Bill doing something mean or nasty on the playground, all of a sudden you'd see the front door of the house spring open, and here comes the dad coming out through the door, and he was a beeline for his son, Bill. And there was a tree that had low-lying limbs that hung in front of their tree. And the neighborhood used to laugh because Don, he would always head under this tree. As he'd go under the tree, he'd get a limb, you know. He'd get a branch off the tree as he was passing under the tree. It was a pretty big, the tree was as broad as this room here. So there was a lot of low limbs. Well, he'd get one, by the time he got to the far end of the tree, he'd have stripped off all of his auxiliary branches, and he'd have a good little rod. And Bill knew enough not to run because his dad was faster than he was. Because he tried that once, and it got it worse. And so Bill would get the rod. But we all got the rod. But anyway, I was about 11 or 12, and it suddenly struck me that, and it struck me with a kind of a momentum. I mean, it seemed like a big thing in my mind. I had not been spanked in 3 or 4 years. And I sort of rejoiced at that. And I began to meditate upon it as a young person. And I didn't understand everything about child discipline at that point, but it struck me. I got to thinking, you know, it's not that I haven't done anything wrong in the last 3 or 4 years, but one, I've been more furtive about it. My father didn't catch me. But the more important thing was that by and large, I wasn't doing that. I wasn't doing really mean things. When I was a younger child, I really did some mean things. But my parents challenged me on it, and I thought, I could see as a young boy, I could see how if you discipline your children, how there's a residual effect from it. And that's exactly what we see here in Proverbs 29:17. Discipline your son and he will give you rest. He will delight to your heart. Later on, I mentioned some Scottish proverbs about discipline. And one of them mentions the ages of 3 and 13. And I thought how delightful that was, because it's true. If we can discipline our children at an earlier age, really, if you discipline your children in the 3, 4, 5 area, you're not going to have to discipline them much after that. I mean, once in a while. But if you catch them when they're young, you're going to have so many positive residual effects. And you're not going to have a case where your children won't love you. Your children will really love you dearly. They'll love you more. One of the problems that they find with delinquent children is that these children are crying out for fences, for limitations, for boundaries. And they have never received those in their lives from their parents. Their parents have just let them run free. This folly that they were born with has been allowed to cultivate and develop and run wild. And so they end up in their late teenage years, and they're filled up with all kinds of depression, what we call masochism, where you're willing to hurt yourself or try to hurt yourself, either psychologically or physically. But if we give our children these boundaries, it helps them to be secure. It helps them to mature. It helps them to be happy. And so this happiness will flow out into your life. He will give delight to your heart. We're having family crises today. Tons of family crises. One of the big reasons is because we have neglected this issue. Now, If we ask ourselves, why is this, or why is this so critically important? Well, it's critically important for children, but there's even a bigger reason for this. Because if we don't discipline our children, they will not understand that we really do believe anything is true or false. In other words, this very specific dimension called child discipline is related to our doctrine of God, to our theology. You see, people that don't discipline their children don't really know the Lord. Some of the scriptures on the back of your handout speak about how God hates evildoers in Psalm 5, verse 4 through 6. The New Testament says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. The Jeremiah texts talk about the fury and the anger of the Lord at disobedience. Proverbs 1:7 teaches about the fear of the Lord being the beginning of knowledge. Psalm 19, which is not back there, Psalm 119, verses 104 and 128, speak about how we as people, when we learn the Word of God, we come to hate all evil. It's a replication of the verse in two places, verses 104, 128. So God hates sin. Psalm 119 teaches we ought to hate sin. But if you don't discipline your children, you're not teaching them how to hate sin. One of the great worries that I have as a pastor, one of the great worries that I have today as a pastor, is that by the way we are rearing our children, we are insulating them against knowing God in a more intimate way. We're insulating them because we're not teaching them anything about the holiness of God. If God is holy, then He demands that we live in a certain way. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, the Bible says in the Old Testament. But if we have this casual view of good and evil and discipline, what are we teaching our children about God? Can they love a God whom they do not respect if they have no fear of God in their eyes? The Bible speaks of that as a prescription for great catastrophe for a culture. And yet this is precisely the direction we're going. I believe God has given our societies over to this because He has even worse punishments due for us as we move away from Him. And I know that this is not as it's always been. Because I've got these Scottish Proverbs here. And these Scottish Proverbs speak of an earlier day here in Scotland. Now, I haven't got time to go over these with any degree of discipline, any degree of depth. But I've got some of the words that are, some of them they're not as familiar to me, but... Come when you're called. In other words, come when you're called. You'll be chidden. Chidden is a word for chastened or chided or beaten. Come when you're called. You won't get the rod. You see, he that does bidden deserves no dinging. In other words, the child that does what he's told can avoid all the dinging. Now you know what that most. Dinging, I think, is a more modern Scottish word. Gie a bairn, now down here in Glasgow region, you use the word wain more for little ones, but in the eastern parts and up in the Highlands, the children are bairns. Gie a bairn his will, and a whelp its fill, and neither will do weel. Give a child his will, or a little puppy, a young dog its fill. In other words, let a dog eat all it wants. And neither one will do very well. The little puppies will eat all that you give them, usually, and then they will yuck it up all around your house. That's what happens. So, here's the one, between 3 and 13, throw the woody while it's green. I like that. In other words, you can bend wood when it's green. And so it's indicating between 3 and 13, those are the best years. Those are the years where you must apply discipline to bend the wood while it's green, or else that wood is going to harden in a crooked position. And lastly, a wild goose nay laid tame eggs. A wild goose nay laid tame eggs. You're never going to get domesticated geese out of a wild goose and its eggs, are you? And if you apply this to children, the ideas are there. So, I believe all over the world here in the West that these things are being lost. I'm speaking to a Scottish audience here, so I picked up some Scottish proverbs to show you that in an earlier day, what we believe today would have been almost considered criminal. Years past, if you would have taken some of these little kids that are in our neighborhoods today and plunked them in a neighborhood 50 years ago here in Scotland, I don't know whether those kids would have made it out. I mean, they would have been disciplined by everybody. Everybody would have grabbed them and spanked them a little bit, and including some of their playmates. But we live in a day here today where there is no God. And there is no word of God. And there is no discipline. And we are going in the way of destruction. What will the Church of Christ do about this? Will we love our God? Will we love our children? And will we love the rod? Let's pray together. Our Father and our God, we pray that you would teach us something by thy word in this message. Our Father, we see that discipline is so basic. Discipline is even basic to the meaning of the word disciple. It's the root from which the word disciple comes. How can we have discipline in our societies, or how can we have church discipline if we have not first taught discipline in our homes? How can our children survive without strong discipline? How can we have hope and joy later on if we refuse you, your due, O Lord, and your wisdom by denying that wisdom at these verses which we've read? We pray, O Lord, that you would help the Church of Christ to be a help to its modern day, remedial for our modern society, so that even as we preach the gospel, we might have practical helps for parents to learn more of how to get control of their homes. We pray, O Lord, for our families in this day. We know that many of our families are broken. Many are suffering. We pray for them, O Lord. We intercede for them. We pray, even with tears, O Lord, that thou wouldst bless us in our families. We have so many needs, O Lord. But we pray that we might know that we cannot expect thy blessing if we disdain your instruments. Bless us then in and through them. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let us conclude.